Just a quick summary. Last week, we heard Colin preach about two types of believers. One is spiritual believers and the other is essential or carnal believers. Now, we also see in Genesis 14 how Abraham defeats the northeastern kings, that is, especially King Chedorlaomer, and how he gets back his nephew Lot and all his possessions. We also see how he meets King Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and he also participates in Bob and offering. So today we'll be closely looking into Genesis 15 and 16, and we'll meditate upon these two chapters. So just to give a quick summary, Genesis 15 talks about God's promises and prophecy. So this is actually a dialogue between Abraham and God, and we see how God promises the land of inheritance, his heir to Abraham's estate, and innumerous descendants. And also God talks about the prophecy about Abraham's descendants from slavery to freedom. And in Genesis 16, we see Sarai's decision and how Abraham agrees with Sarai, and how Hagar's journey starts with Abraham, and how she gets into the wilderness, and how God meets with her, and how she draws her strength. We also see that God promises Hagar. So before we get into the meditation, let us pray. Yes, Father Lord, I just want to thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to share your word, Father Lord. And I pray and thank you for giving us your word, which is readily available for us, Father Lord. I also pray that you prepare each one of our hearts, Father Lord. Open our hearts and open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to know you, Father Lord, and to listen to your voice. Father Lord, I also pray that you anoint me by your Spirit and bless every word that comes out of my mouth, Father Lord. Let it be in accordance to your will and your word. And I pray that you bless this time. Help all of us to focus onto your word and draw the truths from your word. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. All right, so just for the introduction, today we'll be looking closely into each one of these details. We'll look into the stories of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. So this was before God renamed them as Abraham and Sarai, but just for convenience sake, I may use the terms Abraham instead of Abram and Sarah instead of Sarai. All right, now there is something that we can take away from these stories, something which we need to follow and something that we need to omit. And at the last, we also see what is God's promise for us. All right. So firstly, we see Sarah's unwise decision. So why is it unwise? Let's read from Genesis 16, 1 to 4. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave girl, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Now, from these verses, we clearly see that Sarah makes a decision based on human intellect. So firstly, we'll try to understand what made her take this decision. So when we look at Genesis 11:30, we see that Sarah cannot actually conceive. It is the truth about her at that instant of her life. And this is truly a very painful grief that she is carrying in her heart. So there could be public shame or disgrace because she was not able to conceive at that moment. But how long was she in this place? So after the first promise that God has given Abraham, we see in Genesis 12:2 that God initially promised Abraham about descendants, about offsprings. So it's almost 10 years. Now 10 years is a pretty long duration, and we know how she's carrying this burden all these years, and also you know, there are unanswered prayer. So let us see how long all these overwhelming circumstances of hers has actually led her to start doubting God's word. So this current overwhelming situation of hers actually led her to start doubting God's promise to Abraham. We see that the truth of her is that she is still barren, and she has waited almost 10 years. And how long does she need to wait? So she has ended up into a dilemma situation where she has started doubting God's promise to Abraham. And when we get this doubt in our minds, that's exactly when the enemy, who is right at the door, who is also looking at the opportunity to devour at us, he tries to give us deceptive ideas, exactly like how he gave Eve, which we see in Genesis 3. We see how the serpent deceived Eve by telling her to eat the fruit which God told not to eat. And yeah, so that actually led her into taking matters into her own hands, the DIY, which tells us that do it yourself. So these are the three danger of these, which may result into, which we might result into when we start doubting God's word. But having said this, what does the word tell us? That is more important. We see that God tells us that we need to make every thought of ours captive to the word of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we also see that we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And also Proverbs 3:5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So all these three verses tells us that we need to depend on God and not on our own intellect, so that we can inherit the promises of God, and so that we may end up in making the wise decision, unlike what Sarah did. Now it's time to reflect back into our lives, and we may ask a question to ourselves: are you into a similar kind of situation where there are a lot of unanswered prayers, or maybe you have been waiting for a very long period? And are you in a similar kind of situation where Sarah was? For example, waiting for a life partner, or if you are in a childless situation, or waiting for promotion, etc. And if it is you, then yes, all you have to do is to cry out to God, submit your requests to God, and trust in the Lord and not on your own understanding, and make every thought captive to the word of God. So let us now look into Abraham's life, and we'll see how he responds to this. We see that he gets carried away by the decision of his loved one. Let's read from Genesis 16, 2-4. We see that, so she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." To this, Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. It really makes me wonder how quickly he agrees. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. And he slept with Hagar, and so she conceived. And we also see in Genesis 3:6 a similar situation where Adam agrees to eat the fruit Eve offered. So Abraham also fell into the trap of choosing an unwise decision of his wife instead of standing up and telling Sarah that we need to trust in God and hold on to his promise. Because in Genesis 15, we see how God promised Abraham that you are going to be blessed by an heir who is going to come from your own blood. And Abraham actually believed, and God credited him as righteousness. But again, we see how even believers at a point of at a point in their life, you know, stumble and make or get carried away by the decisions which are made by others. So we can also end up into similar situations in life like this. But what does the Word of God tell us? So in 1 John 1:1-4, we see, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Acts 17:11 tells us about the Berean Jews, who are of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, but test all things, hold fast to what is good. So now when we get an opportunity to discern and to choose the right path, we need to weigh the decision based on the Word of God and examine it carefully, whether it is in line with the Word of God, in line to the promises of God, and hold on to that. But we see here that Abraham unfortunately got carried away by the decision made by his wife. So when we reflect back into our life, we may ask a question: are we also getting influenced by the decisions made by our loved ones? It may be in the situation of getting married, especially in South India. The culture actually is in such a way that there is a lot of pressure from the parents, from relatives, to get married to any Christian. But if God has promised you, in fact, it is a wise decision to wait for the one whom God has chosen for you to marry a believer. But these are some of the situations where we may end up into making a wrong decision or getting influenced by choosing the wrong decision which was already made, which may end up into consequences. Now, we have looked into the stories of Abraham and Sarah, and there are things that we should not follow. But now let us see Hagar's trust and obedience to God's word. So this is some learning that we can apply in our lives. So from Genesis 16:1-6, we can understand how hopeless the situation is for Hagar. Now, sometime earlier, in earlier chapters, if we see that there was a famine in Canaan, and that's when Abraham moved to Egypt. And there, under the favor of Pharaoh, he became much wealthier, and he gained a lot of men and maid servants, a lot of cattle, and then he comes back to Canaan. So it could be that Hagar was one of the girls that he acquired for his wife in Egypt. But anyways, being a slave means you cannot make any decisions. There's no choice and no freedom. In addition to that, Hagar is also living with the consequences which have been created by an unwise decision of Sarah. And further in Genesis 1-6, we see that Sarah also treats her pretty harsh. And considering all these overwhelming consequences that circumstances that Hagar is going through, and she just does not see anyone understanding her or listening to her, so she tries to run away. She decided to run away, and crushed in her spirit, she ran away, and she thought that there is no one who can understand or listen or see her problems. Then further in the next slide, we see that from Genesis 16:7-15, we see how God meets with her and calls her by name and makes a conversation. Now, this is really strange because she is an Egyptian. She never knew about God, the Jehovah, the God of Abraham. She is from Egypt, and she might have worshipped all Egyptian gods, but she never heard from them. But here, when she runs away into the wilderness, God himself speaks to her. God himself meets with her and calls her by name and starts to make a conversation. Now, he comforts her by saying that he saw and heard her cry of affliction. Now, this is the first time in biblical history that a woman ever was confronted by an angel of God. And she's the first person who has named God with the name God who sees. Now, when God spoke to her, that's when she drew strength from God's comfort. We also see that he also tells her to go back and submit to the same authority. Now, some things which God tells us, we may not understand that. But all we have to do is to trust in him. He also promised in numerous descendants, like he has promised Abraham. And through Ishmael, she's going to be blessed with numerous descendants. Now, this is God's promise to her. And now her perspective changes. Now she's comforted by God's word. And we see how she goes back to her mistress, Sarah, and starts looking at things at a different perspective. Now we see the same God who was with Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar is right here with us now. So dear friends, we have a God who sees and hears our cries. And when we have a God who is, and we also have a God who is an overcomer. In Psalms 34:15, we see that God hears and sees us when we submit our requests to God, when we cry out our situations to God. And in John 16:33, we see how God sent his only son Jesus to die for our sins. And he was insulted the same way. He was persecuted. He was blamed and he died. But not only that, it doesn't end there. God raised Jesus up from the death. So he was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Jesus overcame the world. Now, if we reflect back into our life, are you also clinging on to God's promise in your life by trusting him and obeying his word? Are you also in a similar kind of devastated situation? A situation which is overwhelming. If you are in a, I think today's morning worship is all about this. If you are into a situation where you feel that there is no hope, a hopeless situation, then just rest, be assured that we have a God who hears us, who listens to us, and all we have to do is to trust in him and obey him. So I request all of us, if there is any situation like this, I believe this is the time that God is asking us to submit it, to cry out to God and to trust in Jesus and to obey him. And he surely will give us the strength to overcome. Now, like how Abraham was promised the land of inheritance, God also promised us an eternal inheritance in heaven. All we have to do is to trust him and obey him. And he shields us with his power and strengthens us and rewards us. In 1 Peter 1:3-6, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, nor spoil, nor fade." Now, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Dear friends, I'd like to encourage all of us that narrow is the path which leads to heaven. And God has already prepared an inheritance for us in heaven. All we have to do is to trust in him and obey in him and make the right decisions based on his word. And when we do that, God will surely give us a strength, and he is our shield, and he will reward us along our journey when we are faithful in our journey. By this, I conclude today's preaching. Let us pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to know the truths from your word, Father God. Thank you for giving us an examples, Father Lord, what to follow. We have learned that we need to make every decision based on your word, that we need to submit every thought captive to your word, Father Lord. And by doing this, we close all the doors which may for the evil one to deceive us, Father Lord. And we know that you are a God who sees and hears us, Father Lord, in our times of trouble. Father Lord, we believe in you that you are a God who is an overcomer. You overcame the world, Father Lord, and therefore we submit our requests, our situations unto you, Father Lord. I pray for a mother who is depressed because of the childless situation. I pray for an employee, Father Lord, who is long waiting for a promotion, Father Lord. I pray for any person who is in a very bad condition, Father Lord, where there is no way, you are the way, Father Lord. And Father Lord, we submit all our circumstances unto you, and we trust in you, Father Lord, and we obey your word, and help us, Father Lord, in our journey to make decisions based on your word and to trust in you and walk in faithfulness, Father Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, Amen.